Hello and welcome again, everybody, to my Tuesday conference call, where every Tuesday I answer your questions, I show you how to move more freight with more abandon, with more skills, with more training, more tools, however you'd like to do it today we're going to talk, we're going to take a little side note here and talk a little bit about LTL and the 10 main factors that determine LTL rates. But as usual, I could not have a conference call if I did not talk to you a little bit about connecting and collaborating with your prospects and with your customers. So just go ahead and go to that email that I sent you. Go down to the attachments. First of all, I want to congratulate again all you folks that are on our GMP leaderboard, our Green Meadows Productions leaderboard. All I can say is do your best to get on there, see what you can do, because I know you're all capable of getting on here and moving up the board. Hey, it's this simple. The more you move up the board, the successful and more productive you are. It's that easy. Anyway, let's go ahead and open that first attachment, the first attachment. It's titled, How Are You Today? How are you today? Hate it or use it? Well, basically what this means is the line, How are you today? I mean, just think about how often you hear that. Just in general, you go to the store, you go to the gas station, you meet somebody on the street, you call somebody. What's the line that you typically hear just to get the conversation going? That's what you hear. How are you today? How's it going today? Things along those lines. Well, this is a line that obviously is and can be utilized in our profession. Now, some people use it, some people don't. But just to give you a little more insight on it, let me read further into this line here, How are you today? It's not a high-level sales strategy, but nonetheless something that you potentially face on every call, and it can have an impact. The question, how are you, or some other similar icebreaker. It's been debated to no end. Most people have a definite stance on it. Some hate it and would never use it. Others swear by it and use it all the time. Now, my position on it really has been the same over the years, and here's my position on it. If you're comfortable with it and can pull it off conversationally, then use it. The emphasis is on conversationally, which also means being certain to listen to their answer and reply accordingly. Basically, if you can pull it off, if you actually ask it, make sure you close your mouth and wait to hear what your prospect has to say after you ask it. I was listening to calls at our office and noticed an agent starting his calls with a simple, hi, how are you, immediately after somebody picked up the phone and said hello. He didn't identify himself or a company. He did use a very comfortable, conversational, inviting tone, however. And on about 95% of his calls, I heard the prospect reply favorably. I'm not saying this will most definitely work for you or for anyone else. I'm just telling you what I heard. He was able to pull it off. If you're not comfortable, don't use it. However, if you want to break the ice with somebody, use it. It's the most common question there is, just to get things going. I mean, how could it not work? How are you today? How is it going today? If you feel that since people are conditioned to engage in some small talk before getting into the meat of a conversation, but you don't like the overused how are you, consider using an alternative intro, such as, hope you're having a great day, or sounds like you're having a great Tuesday morning, or happy Friday to you, or one of my favorites, one of my personal favorites, and I only say this when I detect it from the other line, is sounds like you're in a good mood. I mean, I'm basically saying something positive, and how, you know, what are you going to say to that? No. So that's one of my favorites, just to get the ice break, just to break the ice. Sounds like you're in a good mood. I know there are some people who couldn't imagine themselves saying these things, and of course, they shouldn't if they don't feel comfortable. So you have to feel it when you say it. That same agent I referred to earlier said this was one, the same agent I referred to earlier said this one when he didn't begin with, how are you? He said, hi, Bill, I'm such and such with such and such. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm calling because blank. Again, he repeatedly received a favorable reaction. While listening to other calls, I heard something that I'd never heard before. When the prospect answered based on how they sounded, the agent commented totally honestly. Hi, Mary. It's Mike at such and such. Sounds like you're not having a good day. Or, hello, Pat. Diane with such and such. You sound happy this morning. Now, he said it based on the feedback that he was getting from the other line. But here's the thing. He started off with something negative. And on the other example, he said something positive. So my original reaction to these was somewhat uncomfortable. The positive comments were fine when I heard them, but there's no way they should be starting with anything negative, or so I thought. But the more I listened, the more I was surprised that people engaged in the conversation and weren't offended. Now, if you're getting on the line with somebody and they sound positive, obviously you're not going to bring up, you know, something negative. You got to go with the flow. This goes back to the type of personality that you're speaking to. Same with here. If the person sounds great, you say something positive. If you can sense that they're not in a good mood, hey, go ahead and say something negative. Because it's really up to them. It's a choice on their part whether they want to become positive or stay negative. Again, I'm not suggesting you use these methods. Then again, I'm not saying don't use them. Again, it's totally a feel. But if you want to break the ice in a great way, then say these lines. If you're not getting the results you want at the beginning of a call, then try new things. Keep in mind that your delivery is as important as your words. Practice and record yourself and make adjustments. And last, continue having your best week ever. Initially, I wasn't a big fan of this this line, you know, how are you? Because really, it's nothing new, but here's the thing. On the flip side, most people use it. So if your deal is to break the ice, then use what people use. And hence, this line works. How are you? How are you today? How is it going? Anything like that. And you know how I am about asking questions and listening. Because if you're going to use this line, how are you? After you say it, close your mouth and actually listen to what they say. Don't interrupt. Actually listen, because you don't know what's going to come out. And if something, you know, if they actually hear you and go off on it, I mean, they really tell you how they are, it's even an easier way to break the ice, especially with a new prospect. Okay, moving on. Let's go to that third attachment, and let's talk about the 10 factors that determine LTL rates. Now, this is a general overview of LTL. I know we don't talk about it a lot, but believe it or not, LDI Freight has a tool called the LDI Rate Tool that when you have an LDL request, you can just go there. You can ask Maria about that on Thursday when you hear do her call, but it's called the LTL Rate Tool. But I'm going to talk about the 10 common factors that determine LTL freight rates, if you go ahead and open up that third attachment there. Now, the better you understand what goes into LTL freight rates, the easier it is for you to manage expectations as well as prepare your freight shipment processes to get the longest term savings on resources and costs in your transportation department. Because of the variety of factors that make up LTL freight rates, you have more options and thus make LTL freight shipping an attractive mode of choice for many shippers to gain more control, flexibility, and visibility into your freight management. Now, this covers the characteristics that make up LTL freight rates. This information is vital in making sure you get the best and most accurate LTL freight rates when choosing to ship LTL. LTL shipments typically weigh between 151 and 20,000 pounds. LTL carriers will usually apply a discount on shipments as the freight moves up in weight, meaning there are various weight break discounts an LTL carrier may give. Shipments larger than 5 pallets can still ship an LTL carrier, but these moves are normally considered volume moves and are spot quoted by the carrier's rate department. Now, in my document, guidelines for moving freight, guidelines for giving out a rate quote, I typically say that LTL is 4 pallets or less. But again, it's up to the carrier. Every carrier does this differently. That's why the transportation department had to put in these standards for LTL rate. But again, every carrier is different. Now, LTL freight rates can be very confusing, unlike truckload, which has rates usually based on a per mile rate or a price per hundredweight plus a fuel charge. Many factors regulate LTL rates, which will most definitely impact the cost of a shipment. Less than truckload mode of shipping is used for smaller shipments that are too large to be sent as parcel, but too small to fill an entire truckload. And LTL carriers collect freight from various shippers and consolidate that freight onto trailers for line haul to the delivering terminal or to a hub terminal where the freight will be further sorted and consolidated for additional line hauls. Let me just interject here. It doesn't always have to be that way, because a lot of times if we get an LTL request, sometimes it's more valuable or more profitable to just take that request and throw it on our load board. Okay? You don't always have to use the LTL rate tool that we have. So sometimes it's more profitable, more productive, sometimes more easy to just throw it on the load board. Anyway, in most cases, drivers start the day by loading up and heading out to make deliveries first, then begin making pickups once the trailer has been emptied for return to the terminal for sorting and delivering the next day. Thus, most pickups are made in the afternoon and most deliveries are performed in the morning. So, here are the 10 factors that determine LTL freight rates. The first one, the most important one, is weight. LTL freight rates are structured so that the more a shipment weighs, the less you pay per 100 pounds. And as the weight of the LTL shipment increases and approaches the lowest weight in the next heaviest weight group, it will be rated at the lowest weight category and rate in that weight group. So, factor number one is weight. What is the actual weight of the one pallet, two pallet, three pallet, four pallets? The second one, the second factor is density. A shipment's density is one factor that determines LTL freight rates. Shippers need to know how to calculate a shipment's density so that they can properly describe their goods on the bill of lading. This is all industry stuff, guys. The total weight of the shipment is divided by the total cubic feet to determine the density. And if the shipment is palletized, use the dimensions of the pallet. The combined weight of the carton and the pallet and the total weight of the shipment. To determine the dimensions of your shipment, be sure to measure the longest sides, including any packaging, overhangs, or protrusions. Once density is calculated, you can then figure out the class. Let me stop again, and let me reiterate this. If you use the LTL rate tool that we have, then all of this stuff is taken into consideration. If you just have a pallet or one or two pallets to move and you feel that you can get a better rate just putting it on the load board, then go ahead and do that. None of this matters then. All you can do is describe what you have to the carrier. You know, tell them where it picks up, tell them it drops off, tell them it's an LTL or a partial. Then you negotiate it on your own. Again, these factors apply when you're actually dealing with a certified or a regular LTL carrier, like a Saia, like a UPS, like a FedEx, like an Old Dominion, like an R&L Carriers. These guys are, you know, most of the business that they do are LTL. Let's look at factor number three, the classification of the freight. Every piece of freight has a classification within the LTL world, and classification is a big driving force to make up LTL freight rates. Now, classes are published in the National Motor Freight Classification Book by the National Motor Freight Traffic Association. And the NFFTA has established 18 different classes ranging from 50 all the way up to 500. The class is determined by product density, value, stowability, handling, and liability. Lower classes represent very dense freight that is difficult to damage and is easy to handle. Lower classes have lower rates. Conversely, higher classes represent lighter, less dense freight that typically take up more space. The higher the class, the higher the rate will be. That's the norm. Number four, fourth factor, distance. The longer the haul, the higher the price per hundredweight will be. That's simple. Many LTL carriers only serve a specific geographic region, so you must consider how many zip codes a carrier services directly. If a shipment is sent to a location outside a carrier's normal service area, the trucking company will transfer the shipment to another LTL carrier for final delivery. This is called interlining, a practice that may result in higher costs due to lower discounts and higher minimum charges. The fifth factor that determines an LTL rate are basic rates, and that is all LTL carriers establish their own base rates. Again, it's not like everybody follows an industry standard. Every LTL carrier is different. They establish their rates on these 10 factors. Reading on, these rates are quoted per 100 pounds, also known as carat weight, and will vary from carrier to carrier and from lane to lane. The carat weight calculation is based on the freight classification. A good fact to point out is carriers will modify their base rates depending on their need for additional volume and increase gross cost for lanes where they have a good balance between trucks and freight. Here's the sixth factor that determines LTL rates, and it's FAK, or freight of all kinds. Now, here's what that means. Freight all kinds is an arrangement between the client and the carrier that enables multiple products with different classes to be shipped and billed at the same freight class. An example, a client that ships multiple commodities ranging from 50 to 100 could negotiate a freight all kinds rate with the carrier to rate all items at class 70. So again, there's flexibility. None of this stuff is set in stone. It all varies on the load, where it's going, you know, where it's coming from. So there is flexibility from LTL carriers. This can be a source of, bear with me, it can be a source of significant savings for clients by reducing the amount paid on higher class shipments. The seventh factor is minimums. The pricing within LTL freight rates that is increasing the fastest with LTL carriers is the absolute minimum charge, or the AMC. Now, this minimum charge is a charge below which a carrier simply will not go. And carriers are constantly requesting a 2-3% increase on contract rates, but $5 increases the but a $5 increase is in the minimum charge. If the minimum charge is $70, a $5 increase equates to a 7.1% increase, and carriers are doing this because the cost a carrier experiences for a minimum charge shipments far exceeds the cost they experience for heavier shipments. I know these others are getting a little technical, but they are still factors that determine LTL rates. Number 8 is the negotiated rate tariffs with LTL carriers. Now, you can negotiate with several LTL carriers per your various lanes of shipping. You're not simply relegated to a base rate. If you have analyzed and better understand your freight data and activity per lane, you can come to the LTL carrier and work with them to get different tariffs for their different lanes. Now, this allows you to make sure you're not leaving money on the table by balancing your more unattractive lanes with your attractive lanes, giving you overall better LTL freight rates. The 9th factor is negotiated discounts. Again, negotiated, keyword negotiated. None of this stuff is set in stone. You can negotiate rates with any LTL carrier you use. Let me read on. For companies looking for relief from high shipping costs and market volatility, a professional 3PL provider or even a large shipper can save an extra 18 to 25% off heavily discounted LTL freight rates if they routinely make multiple shipments to multiple locations and work with numerous freight carriers. For every $100,000 in freight costs, that's an extra $18,000 to $25,000 in savings. How can a 3PL lower freight costs beyond a company's existing discounts? By negotiating additional discounts based on the 3PL's or shipper's relationship, reputation, and volume business with established carriers. Again, it's a negotiated discount. It's something you can negotiate either with the LTL carrier or, again, if you want to use a regular carrier that does full truckload, it all depends on what you have. And don't get me wrong, this is typically for somebody that's been in this a little while, okay, and has an understanding of how LTL is shipped. Again, we're just talking about the 10 main factors, number 10 being the accessorials or the surcharges that come up typically. Accessorial charges stem from extra services performed by the carrier that go beyond the typical dock-to-dock or business-to-business pickup and deliveries. Common examples of these charges are liftgate service, residential pickup or delivery, limited access locations, example, jails, prisons, churches, schools, or storage units, and inside delivery. These are all additional charges. Accessorial charges can be negotiated to a flat rate or even waived altogether. Again, negotiated. A fuel surcharge is the most common accessorial as it's typically factored in on every shipment. Now that we've spoken about the 10 factors, if you lack the specifics of your freight as it relates to the above information, it could lead to a 25 to 40% increase in your freight charge. But on the other side, you don't have to use a regular LTL carrier, as I said earlier. You may just want to just throw this on our load boards and see what the market says to you, see how the market responds to you. I mean, you don't have to use a designated LTL carrier every time you do an LTL load. Fortunately, the unnecessary costs are unavoidable. Getting to know these 10 characteristics of an LTL freight rate will help you control the cost. My advice, go back over these 10 factors so you acclimate yourself to why LTL is priced the way it is through with regular LTL carriers. Let's go on to a little connecting and bonding with our prospects, and let me finish off this call by moving on to our next attachment, and that is, guys, remember when calling your prospects and customers, this relates directly with what I just went over, don't prepare for a call thinking about a particular commodity or a freight lane or a freight type, because a lot of times you don't know what you're getting into when you make a call, when you make that first call to that prospect, you know, don't think going in, hey, this guy just does LTL, this guy just does full truckload, this guy does bulk, liquid, whatever it is. Determine what your prospect requires and then offer them solutions. That's what it all comes down to. And here's the thing. You won't know unless you ask questions and then close your mouth and listen to what they have to say. So you may think, hey, you know what? I'm going to go after LTL freight. Well, who do you go after? Yeah. Who do you go after? Who do you start with? You don't know. So make the calls. Don't prepare for what they're going to say. Be ready for what they say and then determine what they require and offer them solutions. It's really that simple. Moving on to our next attachment there. Remember, when you're calling prospects and customers, end today and every day with a positive call. End today and every day with a positive call. Whether it's a sale or other objective, it assists in starting off your next day with a great attitude. So, end today with a positive call. You know, whatever it is, a positive call might be, hey, I finished the day with posting or covering my fifth load today or my second load today, whatever it is. End each and every day on a positive note. That's basically what I'm saying. Let's go ahead and move on to our last attachment there. And our last attachment is this. Again, remember when you're calling your prospects and customers that nothing of monumental significance has been achieved without it starting out as a goal. You can look around, look in your house. That the house you live in, the apartment you lived in, started out as a goal. Somebody conceived this in their mind to create that beautiful house that you live in, or whatever it is. Look at a bulletin board hanging up on the wall. So that started out as a goal. But nothing of monumental significance has been achieved without it starting out as a goal. So my question is, what are your goals and what great things are you going after right now? Let me ask you that again. What great things are you going after right now as I speak? Questions on any of this material that I just went over today? Anything about LTL freight rates? Again, my expertise is in connecting. It's in selling. It's in motivating. Give me a call. Hold on a second here, folks. Give me a call at the office here, 626-309-9141. Again, if you have any questions about what I went over today, or on motivating, selling, connecting, anything along those lines, 626-309-9141. If you have any questions involving our top-of-the-line LDI freight system, same number, you're going to call and ask for Maria, my beautiful wife, or Marilyn, our assistant, at the same number, 626-309-9141. Again, pleasure talking to everybody today. All I can say to finish up our call here is get on the phone and apply those three factors that I talked about at the end of my call today. Again, the more you connect, and when I say connect, I don't mean by email. The more you actually connect with the marketplace, minimum voice to voice, it's that easy, the more freight you will move. Folks, take care. God bless you all. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I will see you, or I will talk to you next week on my conference call, my Tuesday conference call next week. Well, I will have another great topic for you. Take care, and God bless.